if you're going to hire someone based on fear and they're the wrong person, it's going to cost you more than what you think it's going to do good.
And so it's tempting. I've got clients or I've got somebody that's left, there's a column to be taken over and we can rush those decisions.
Working for Oprah Winfrey was very eye-opening for me.
What does it really take to double your team overnight without your business falling apart? Well, in this episode, I'm talking to George Gonzalez. He was a celebrity stylist, salon owner, podcast host, and former stylist to the Oprah Winfrey Show. He has doubled his salon team from 30 to 60 and is about to expand even further. And this isn't just a story about numbers. We're going to dive into what George learned working behind the scenes for Oprah and how those lessons shape the way he leads and scales and builds a culture in a high-performing salon. So whether you're thinking about growing your team, expanding into multiple locations, or just want some insights into fearless leadership, this one is for you. So if you're ready to hear what it really takes to build the business that thrives through change, let's dive in and meet George. Welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Really pleased to have you here.
Thank you, Larissa. It's great to be here.
So why don't we kick things off with, like, who are you, George? Where do you come from? Where do you live? What do you do? How did you get to be doing that?
Yeah. So my name is George Gonzalez. I'm living in Chicago, Illinois. I have a salon in Chicago, and I run a pretty large business, and I'm behind the chair 4 days a week, and have a product line and a podcast. So, I'm doing a lot.
All right. Well, I'm excited about our conversation because I think it's going to be a little bit of an eye-opener for some of our listeners. Why don't we start with, tell us a little bit about being a stylist for Oprah. I know you were there for 11 years. What are some interesting insights or stories that you have about being a stylist for Oprah?
Well, working for Oprah Winfrey was very eye-opening for me. One, because I got to see the behind-the-scenes effort in her running her business, building her team, producing shows, affecting the world, talking to the world, sharing with the world, entertaining people. Oprah's the best at what she does, right? She's interviewing people. She's talking to people. She brings the best out in people and sometimes can bring out really difficult things to talk about. So she's so good at that. And for me to watch her do what she did and affect as many people as possible helped me figure out, one, when I was building my team, who to select and who to hold on to and how to hold on to them. And two, how to connect with people. And three, knowing that I wanted to help and affect the world in a positive way and try to, you know, do as many great possible things for as many people as I could.
I love that. I love that positive role on effect that you've had, from her and being behind the scenes. Tell us a little bit, you were a salon owner and you worked on the Oprah Winfrey Show at the same time. Like, how did you juggle the both? Like, how often did you need to be on the show versus in the salon?
Yeah. I worked for Oprah for 11 years and she had a spa and salon for her employees. So that's one main thing that I did. So I was able to connect with her production team, through anyone that worked on audio, video, across the board. I met her team and saw a theme that was just constantly there. And these people that she attracted and, you know, hired and maintained were really focused on being a part of what she was doing, right? They were very excited about being on her team and they felt like they were a part of the great things that she was doing. And so for me, seeing that was really great. And also I got to work on makeover shows. I got to have my team, you know, be a part of the makeover shows, be an audience member and just be a part of Oprah's, you know, umbrella, which was really a positive thing for me, for my career and for my team.
Yeah. I love that. So now you have just recently gone from a team of 30 to a team of 60. You've doubled in size. I really want to get into some of the functional parts from that, but let's just start back at the beginning. What gave you the inspiration or the idea to purchase a second salon? I think you picked up your original team and you all moved into the larger format business. Tell us about that, but let's start right at the beginning. Like, where did this idea come from to expand this way?
Well, I think for me, always having the thought of growing and evolving, but also being patient and having a lot of faith in the fact that I'm being led through things in my life. You know, I think I was put here to help people, and especially women. It's something that's dear to my heart. So I always lead with my heart, and I try to like quiet any noises in my head or distractions and follow things that feel right. And so for me, if I have a constant thought of growing and building, for me, what happened was, you know, I had a 10-year lease of a space that I built out, a beautiful salon right on the corner of Oak and Rush Street in Chicago, one of the, you know, best corners in the city. My lease was coming up. It was a 10-year lease. And I started looking for a newer space. I wanted to build and expand, and nothing really felt right. And so, I waited, I was patient. And then at the 11th hour, I met a man who was ready to sell his business. We negotiated for a few months, and, you know, he has two locations. So it's a two-part deal. We bought the first location in Chicago, which he had a bigger space than I did. So I was able to bring my team over and merge with his team. All his employees became my employees. And, you know, it was the most stressful thing was the not knowing where I was going to be the following year. That was the hardest part. But once I met him and created that connection and followed through with the deal, you know, moving in was the easy part, even though it was difficult, and onboarding his team. And, you know, I think for me, what's made me successful, I sort of rely on that even now with having doubled my team. So, and we could talk about that as well. You know,
I would love to talk about that. I want to just speak to patience for a moment, because I really heard you say I was patient. I had faith the right thing would come up. Like, that's hard to sit in practice of that, actually, to not know where am I going. I know the right thing, trusting the right thing will come up, even though my experience is when you're really clear about what it is that you want, it will eventually come, but it doesn't always come in the shape that you thought that it would come. Do you know, like, maybe you weren't necessarily looking for a second salon per se, or you didn't know you were going to take over a salon, you're just looking for somewhere to lease. And so things come in unexpected ways, which I really love. But it's hard to sit in the patience or sit in the unknown. Would that be a fair comment?
I think that's true. I think it's something for me that I'm okay with. You know, I guess for me, failure is never an option. But if I fail or if I lost it all, I would be okay with that. I mean, to be honest, you know, and I guess for me, just being fearless is a part of that. And also, being, like I said, being faithful, knowing that I sort of don't give myself credit for where I'm at and all the success that I have or have had. You know, I feel like years of writing down and setting goals and working day by day, cutting hair or working towards opening up a salon and growing my business. Yes, I did all that. And I think everyone has to do that. But knowing that there's a universe, like a universal energy, that's guiding me, that's dragging me through this world, and trusting that, you know, I feel like if you have a pure heart and you set out to do something great for a greater purpose, if it's helping others, then I feel like if you're committed, you know, enough that positive, good things will happen to you. And they have for me. I mean, and you have to be okay with taking the heat. I mean, it was stressful. It wasn't easy, you know, of a year of not knowing where I was going, trying to get deals done. And I saw lots of spaces, and none of them felt right. And I brought my team to certain, you know, locations and, you know, possibilities, and they were excited about certain spots, and certain things didn't feel right for me. And I just couldn't pull the trigger. And, the closer I got to the end of my lease, I just leaned into my faith, and things did work out. I mean, and I think as far as trying to have an idea of what you want, you know, if you're so specific and you need it to be this way, then I think you will be let down, because you're never going to get exactly what you think you want, you know, because I think the universe knows better. And in, you know, I ask people, in what part of your life, whether it's relationships or a job or career or just your daily activity, like what goes so perfect that you have these expectations of what you think is going to happen is it happens, you know? So I think as a business owner or just any person going through life, I think being flexible and open to new things and exciting things and things that are unexpected, you know, if you expect the unexpected, then you're fine, you know?
I love that. It kind of takes the pressure off, even though you said, you know, sometimes it is stressful, but it takes the pressure off having to hold tightly, white knuckling onto things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also, if you feel the pressure, or if you're, and I tell my team over and over and over again, never make a decision based on fear, ever. And you have to be able to realize what inside of you is fear-based versus just nerves, right? You know, because you might be nervous, but if there's an intuition that's telling you no, stay away, don't do it, then you can't do it, right? So I think people need to practice knowing, you know, tapping into their intuition, because that will follow you down the right path, or, you know, that'll lead you down the right path. But I think if you're making decisions based on fear, you might end up at a dead end, you know? And sometimes as a salon owner, you're signing, you know, 5, 10, 15 year leases, you know, or even when it comes to like hiring people, you know, you have to hire people that you think are going to be beneficial to your ultimate goal. You have to have a strong culture, a strong belief system in what you're doing, and attract people that align with you and your views. And if you're going to hire someone based on fear and they're the wrong person, it's going to cost you more than what you think it's going to do good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would second that opinion. I agree. I think in particular around hiring, it's very easy to feel the fear and do it anyway when it comes to team, because you may not have a lot of applications or a lot to choose from. And so it's tempting. I've got clients, or I've got somebody that's left, there's a column to be taken over, and we can rush those decisions. Never works out well. So let's speak to specifically the merger of 30 become 60. I had I merged two teams once in my life, and I spent a lot of time working on that pre, during, post. So I'm really intrigued at that process. What you did, how did you make that successful? How did you get two teams to align, because you've got two different cultures? What was that process like for you?
Well, for me, it was about survival. I had to get a deal done by the end of February of 2025. So for me, it was about maintaining my team, you know, continuing to have a business that was running, right? Have a place to work and to cut hair and to see clients. So initially, in the very beginning, I wasn't even thinking about merging teams or cultures or who these people were that I was going to be hiring. So that I didn't think about. There was no work being done on trying to, like, you know, get ready for that. So once we moved in, then it was, okay, how am I going to create space, build out new stations, add shampoo bowls, right? Because it was a little tight, very tight, actually. So I was working tirelessly on trying to soften up, you know, make the space look like George the Salon, or what our clients were used to. And we're very far from that even now. And I did try to have deep connections or conversations with key people. I had those conversations right away. You know, just trying to settle their nerves because everyone was nervous. People are very afraid of change. So connecting one-on-one with people is something that I'm sort of good at. You know, I mean, I can definitely talk to a large group, but, you know, for me, getting to know people one-on-one and sharing with them who I am and what's important to me, selling them on me and my views about business, customer service, things that are important to me. And then also asking great questions, finding out what's important to them, trying to get to know them, trying to connect with them, you know, on a deep level. I think that's crucial when you're trying to maintain staff, especially when it comes to business, like finding out when the last time they raised their prices. You know, right away we started doing some TV segments. So trying to pull people in to include them in that, right? If they're seeing all this exciting stuff going on with me and my original team, they would definitely feel left out. So not everyone got a chance to be a part of these segments, but some people did. And I made sure that I picked the right people to be a part of it so that I could calm the nerves, right? So you're picking the right people, key people that can go out and spread the word. Because every time I had an opportunity to connect with people, I'd say, look, please do me a favor. Share with people, share with your team things that you're learning about me. You know, it's important that people understand who I am and that I care about them. I want them to be successful, right? Their success equals my success. So, doubling my team, you know, again, as tired as I was in those couple weeks, months, I made sure to meet with people one-on-one and just let them know who I was, you know, and get to know them. So.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though, if you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do. Well, don't worry, I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode. Let's speak a little bit about your leadership team, because I'm sure it is sizable. Do you want to walk us through, like, who is on the team? What roles do they have leadership team wise? Because I just want to point out, like, George, you are still on the floor 4 days of the week serving clients. You obviously love to spend time with clients, but running a team of that size is no easy feat. Who makes the magic happen on a daily basis operationally?
Yeah. Well, I think first and foremost is the front desk, right? I think people answering the phones, people being the point person for the, you know, the all employees, but the stylist and the colorist, having a point of contact for everybody. I have key assistant managers and a salon manager. I have a stylist who's an acting manager for that department, a colorist who's an acting manager in that department. I have someone who helps with assistants, and I also have someone that helps with inventory, right? And all of those people I've continuously met with through the years. I think being able to maintain a team or employees is so important. One, that you can have your culture grow and expand, because if I'm very clear about my expectations and who I am, and they buy into that, and not only do they buy into it, but I could sort of help mold them in a way that they think about customer service, about connection, about team. So they're out selling me, and they're selling my culture to other people. So it's very critical for me to hold on to and maintain the relationships that I have with my management team, because they're my extended voice. You know, they allow me to cut hair every day. They allow me to grow my business. They're also having conversations throughout the day with the rest of the team, right? I mean, if the rest of the team is stressed out, they sort of build each other up, right? Because it's stressful as you're growing and there's a lot of change. There's a lot of chatter. It could be negative, right? So you need people on your side that are, you know, because I'm someone who likes to build up my team, and now my team of managers and assistant managers are also building up the new team, then I think we have something that has a strong foundation, and then we can continue to grow.
For sure. Okay, so there's maybe about 5 or 6 roles in the leadership team.
I mean, I would say when it comes to our leadership team, 1, 2, 3, 4, I would say 7 key people, including assistant managers at the front desk, and, you know, but everyone, I treat everyone the same, you know, like there's no gossiping. There's no talking about people behind anyone's back. I mean, I treat everyone like I do family, right? And when I say that, it's not that I'm just like super nice. I'm not. Like, my brother's really sweet, right? He's very sweet, and everyone loves my brother. I love him too. I'm not that sweet. You know what I mean? I'm not mean, and I'm not emotional. I mean, I'm passionate, but I don't need to yell at anyone. I know that I'm in charge. I know that I'm the leader, right? And so I lead by example because I am so calm, and I'm so, I guess, confident in what I'm doing, that I don't need to sugarcoat anything ever. And I don't need to argue with anyone. I don't. If I have someone that's like against what I'm doing, and if I could, you can just hear it, you see it, you know, you feel it, and intuitively know that they're not going to be here long, I'll get rid of them. You know, again, there's no fear. It's like, this person's not going to be here very long. I don't need, maybe in a certain situation, I don't need to fire them, but you squeeze them and you sort of have more conversations with them about what's important. And typically, if someone feels that they're not the right, you know, person for my team, they'll quit, you know, I'm okay with that. That's good, because the other 59 people are watching what I'm doing, right? So I think it's important to just be very clear about your expectations, and also be very grateful, right? I love my team, and I'm very grateful. I always say thank you to my clients and to my team. I never say you're welcome. You know, I always, if someone says thank you to me, I respond with thank you. You know, I think that's just who I am. It's what I do. You know, just always grateful. And always asking people. I'm always, you know, I'll sweep if I'm, if, you know, I'm not, I'll sweep. I'll do everything. I don't, you know, there's nothing that I'm, that is beneath me. Right. Because I really just want to get through the day and I want to succeed, and whatever we have to do, whatever I have to do, I'll do it. And I think sometimes maybe some people, again, are in their head too much thinking about what is someone going to think if I'm sweeping? Like, does that make me look weak or whatever? Like, it's like, just do what you got to do. And I think as an owner, you have to just do anything.
All right, let's speak to the next merger, for lack of a better word. Soon you take over another salon. How far away is it? There's a team of 55 there, I believe.
There is. So the salon that I purchased is in Chicago in the city. And the man that I purchased the salon from, he has a second location. And it was a two-part deal. The first salon had 30 people. His second salon, a larger salon, has 55 people. And I'm working on that. That is in Winnetka, Illinois. It's about 45 minutes away. It's in the suburbs of Chicago. It's a great, great salon. It's a great city. And it seems it's a great team. I've been meeting with them on Tuesdays and trying to get to know them and have them get to know me as well. So hopefully that'll be in the next few weeks or month most. So, yeah.
George, how is that going to affect your time behind the chair, your ability to run both locations? Like, what do you anticipate?
Yeah, I think what I'd like to do is at least have at least one day up there cutting hair, maybe another half day. Again, I think for me, what I've done in the past is just lead by example when it comes to doing hair and connecting with clients. So that's one thing that I think will sort of try to reset the tone or the culture within the space. I think all of us have a certain energy. My energy is very calming. It's very nurturing. I'm very open to meet with people, very approachable. And so I think just being up there and doing what I do will be good enough in the very beginning, I think, right? And so as I either, one, have my team follow me to lead that team up north, or I can sort of, as time goes on, meet with the team there and try to connect with them, try to have them get to know me, my style, and what's important to me. So then all of a sudden they can start to share that with the team up there. You know, I think for me, I'm not going to be able to change the culture overnight, but I don't think I have to. I think that the culture and the team that the man that I'm buying the salon from, Paul, has put together a great team of people. So I think him and I are very similar, and we've had a strong connection from the very beginning. So I think being very similar, you know, type of people, I think it made this possible, right? I don't know if it would be easy to take over a team if it's very different, you know. So I think, again, I think that certain things are meant to be. And if there's alignment and you feel good about it and intuitively it feels right, then I think, you know, definitely do it. You jump in, you just go for it and do it.
I feel like you've made a good purchasing decision by not buying something that's falling apart and it's cheap, and so there's a great opportunity, but you've made a considered decision to buy something that's already working, going really well, the culture is aligned, because now you're walking into something that's already working, already aligned closely with where you're at. Like, that makes the whole transition period more seamless and a higher level of success. I think often we can be tempted by, this is such a great opportunity because it's cheap, because it's not working, and I can do the work to pull it up. I see this a lot, George, and it's a little bit of a rod for one's back. There's a lot of work to be done, and I see you doing that differently, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think I have to always just go back to intuition and feeling, right? If you could quiet your mind, if you could calm your body down enough, and I do this with everything, every decision that I make, I can sort of put myself in that situation even before I do it, and I can figure out how that's going to make me feel, right? And again, there might be fear. I could push that aside. But if something doesn't feel right, you can't do it. And you have to be clear about what you're doing first. What is it that you want and why are you doing it? Is it about getting a good deal? Because it, like you said, because, you know, some of your clients, you know, or audience see that this is a good opportunity. And, you know, but sometimes things are too good to be true, you know? And if you're buying something, you're spending your hard-earned money on something, expecting a return, then pushing the intuition aside, you got to look at the numbers, you know? You have to be good at running a business if you're going to be in business, you know? Intuition's one thing. Having the knowledge and how to make something successful is another.
One of the things that I've heard you speak to a few times, George, is having key conversations about who you are, the brand, to the right people, and there's an expectation that that now is filtered down through the volume, the team. Like, you can't have 60 one-on-ones when you're 4 days behind the chair. Like, that's not your goal and your objective. But you're choosing to have key conversations around culture, goals, objectives, all the things that you're trying to achieve. And then that filters down to the next level of people and so on and so forth. And so, as I heard you say, moving into the new salon, you have patience around your influence. Like, it's not, you're walking into something that's not broken, and you'll start to have key conversations with key people with the idea that that will filter down through the culture. And I think that's it's really key to the word that comes to my mind, or the word I use a lot is scale. That is a scalable leadership method, because you can't get in front of 60 plus now 55 people. And so your influence being filtered down gives you that leverage that you need now to basically double in size overnight.
Yeah. I think there are certain things at certain times that you need to do. And I think in the very beginning, connecting with key people right away, one-on-one, is important. It's important to me. I also think that over time, having group meetings, right, with the whole staff is also very critical, right? So there's different stages in which you have to do it, and you have to do it all. You have, you know, I think there's power in one-on-one conversations and connections, but there's also power in me as a leader leading a group of people, talking to a group of people, handling a group of people, responding to the one or two people that are trying to push back. Those are all great things. I mean, you have to publicly be seen as someone who's strong and confident and, you know, just patient. Right? I mean, and caring. So if my team can see me respond to one or two questions from anybody, and how I connect to them, how I respect them or push back, you know, that's also critical in me showing as many people as I can at one time who I am. Right? So they're all important. All that's important. You know, you got to touch on everything, you know, one-on-ones, large groups, you know, small groups, all of it. It has to be done. And yes, cutting hair 4 days a week is difficult. I'm not saying that I am going to continue that. I might cut down one or two days at some point. But I think if I'm not going to be focusing on working on the business, if I'm just going to be hanging out at home or working out. Like, no, that's not acceptable because I have a lot of clients, you know, and so my clients depend on me. So if I can do it all, I'm going to continue to do it all.
I love that. All right. George, what is a mantra, a quote, or something that's really close to your heart that keeps you focused on the straight and narrow? What would you say?
Yeah, I think for me, being someone who's always driven and wanting to grow and evolve, and I think when you're growing a lot, there's going to be bumps, right? And so I think for me, something that I always just tell myself, you know, especially when things get difficult, is this too, it's cliche, but this too shall pass, you know, very simple, but it's true. And I think if you believe that, talking to yourself in a positive way is something that I do a lot. So for me, if I go through something tough and, you know, like, George, this will pass, you know? So I think if you know that a tough time will pass and you get through it, you will get through it. And, you know, I think just trying to keep a level kind of calm energy level is important. I don't get too excited or too down ever. So, you know, I think that's worked well for me.
Yeah. What's a book, a podcast, or something that you've had your hands on recently that all salon owners should?
Yeah, I think something that I, you know, I think everyone should read, and I read it before I opened up a salon, is a book that was written in the 1920s called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And he talks about systems. He talks about meditation, talks about giving back, talking about things that I think are more mainstream today. But it opened up my mind about, you know, limitless possibilities. And so I think for me, that kind of set the course for me, was reading that book. So I'd definitely recommend that.
Nice. Great. All right. I know, George, people are going to want to come and find you, check out the salon, look at your dubs and your socials. Do you want to share those with us now?
Yeah, I'd love to. So the name of my salon is George the Salon. You can find us at georgethesalon.com. You can learn more about me and my product line at iamgorgeous.com. And you can also watch my podcast, which is George the Podcast, on YouTube and Spotify. So
really appreciate the time you've spent with us today, George.
Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap. George, thank you so much for spending some time with me and giving me your calm wisdom, your insights on scaling, leading with intuition, and creating a thriving team. It's been a good chat. I really appreciate it. And if you're stuck in the weeds of daily operations and thinking about growing your team or your location, it's time to step into your role as a true salon CEO. So my invitation to you is, let's chat. You're welcome to book a strategy call with me or one of my team, and we'll build a custom roadmap to help you to go from chaos to clarity and start growing your salon towards that $1 million mark or your next million with more freedom and definitely more profit. Also, let's see if salon mastery is the right next step for you. And that's a wrap from me. Same time, same place on the podcast next week. Ciao for now.